gather up your meeples. It's time for the Boarding Party Podcast, brought to you by the Superiority Complex. Welcome back to the Boarding Party Podcast, everyone. It's your new favorite podcast about board games. For those of you not familiar who don't listen to our regular show, I don't know why that would be. I don't know why. Those beeps you hear are people walking into the store. We are hosted here at Undercity Comics in lovely Uptown Whittier. So stop by. You can make use of the podcast studio if you want for $15 an hour. They will rent it to you. You can do your own podcast about whatever. Just don't do it about board games. All right? We have some – so here's a – it's a weird setup today. We have our usual America's sweetheart, Justine, is here.
Hello. Hello. Don't say hello when I say hello.
Like, you got applause.
Studio audience.
Do you already love this crowd better than our usual gang of idiots? All right.
So much fun. Because we haven't played a game against them. So
okay.
We're still friendly.
No bad blood.
Yeah.
So we have some special guests in here. Should I wait or should I introduce everybody right now? I'm getting what I can only assume is a very important text in the middle of introducing everyone. But, Mike, first of all, you may know him from other things, but you probably know him best as my cousin, my second cousin, actually.
Second cousin once removed, actually.
Is that what it is?
I think so. I was trying to figure that out before.
I think it's just second cousin.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
But you're my mom's second cousin.
Yeah, so is that where the...
And so, but that's where the once removed comes from, because we're one generation removed from each other.
Is that what... Because it's on my mom's side? Is that...
I don't think that really plays into a factor of it. It's just that we're once removed. We're one generation removed. So, like, let's say I have a kid. That kid would be your second cousin twice removed.
So every generation adds a...
A once removed.
So it's exponentially... So by the time you're four or five generations in...
Uh-huh.
You can get married. That's basically what
I can't even get into the topic of it because I don't know enough about it. But I think we can just say for right now, I think it's second cousin once removed.
Let me ask you guys a question for those of you that know the show. Can you already tell we're related? Even though I don't see this kid a lot, you can tell, right? It's there.
It's there.
You hear the handsomeness in the voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all in the voice.
The nerdiness, the attention to detail. So this is my cousin. He is a Settlers of Catan aficionado.
Yeah.
And he brought two friends, one who I believe is a tournament-level Catan player.
Yes, he is.
Is that true?
That's over here, yeah.
That is his friend, Moran. Standard spelling on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the silent partner in all of this
yes.
is his friend, Nick. Hello, Nick.
Hi, how's it going?
So... guys, we're going to get into Catan, so get ready. Do you guys play games other than Catan, or do any of you have any experience with games other than Settlers? Other than what we focus on in this group, on this podcast, is games beyond Monopoly, Risk, all that stuff.
Yeah, we've dabbled in.
I've been an avid chess player recently.
Oh, come on. That's so basic.
That's not basic.
What Monopoly is a Monopoly. Chess is like the first board game probably.
Let me know when you play Chinese
like,
checkers.
I think the first board game is Go. It's like a 2,000-year-old game that people still play.
Oh,
G-O.
Man.
Yeah.
So simple.
Yeah, yeah. It's very, very – it's very oh. – but it's one. I think it's older than chess.
I was going to put my money on Chutes and Ladders.
It's a good they had ladders 2,000 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they probably did, actually.
They're great walls. They're just like sense. On each other's hands.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how they would get up. Yeah.
So how do you all know each other, gentlemen?
High school buddies.
You guys are all buddies from high school. Yeah. That's funny because on this very podcast, I have buddies from high school that appear time to time, and they were kind of the inspiration for our late night conversations about nothing were the inspirations for this podcast. So, there's the sweet spot on the mic. I just found it.
Me and Nick were Facebook friends 7 years ago today.
Yep, it's our friendsiversary.
All right.
Happy anniversary, gentlemen. Yeah.
We're celebrating it here.
Is that what you guys are going to do? You guys going to get into this, like a knockdown, drag out Settlers of Catan match?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. It gets bloody. Yeah.
Love it.
Loser buys Marco Polo pizza.
Best pizza. Best pizza in Whittier.
What's that?
Best pizza in Whittier.
What's that?
Marco Polo pizza.
Ooh, are you considering Pizza Mania in South Whittier, part of Whittier proper?
It's a little greasy for me. Little Greasy.
Thank you, Nick.
What are
Little
we talking greasy. About?
But Marco why Polo? Is it so light?
Pizza Mania.
Oh, well, there we go. Marco Polo.
Top I'm going to say Marco Polo for the price.
You well, okay, if you're talking cheap pizza, then definitely.
Okay, cool.
But
Pizza Mania does get a little pricey up there.
It does.
It does. If you, that's why you want to go specialty, no way.
That's why you go in with buddies.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, yeah. Then that's when you get like a Settlers match going on. I will trade you one pepperoni for, you know, two slices of your cheese.
Got it.
Cheese okay. is the sheep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course. Cheese pepperoni. Too much of it. Yeah, yeah. Nobody wants the. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Pepperoni's the ore in that situation. For sure.
For sure.
Everybody wants the pepperoni.
Heavy on the katana analogies. Way too early.
I'm wearing a katana shirt for those of you at home since it's not a video podcast. So what first we're going to do before we get into our Catan discussion, everybody's champing at the bit to get to this Catan thing. I've never actually played the game, but I hear it's wonderful. We're going to find out. I'm kidding. I played it once or twice.
I'm like, what?
I was appalled.
Why are we here?
He's about to walk out right now.
No, no. Justine, now wait. Justine, how many you've played Catan with us?
Once.
Just once. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be bored for most of this episode.
I'm going to be a little bit bored. Yeah.
No, you're not. You're going to love because we're going to get tips from the pros. And then
I'm going to take it back tonight.
Yeah,
we're gonna, it's not even going to air yet.
Yeah, we're going to play it tonight because this won't air until next week.
Yes, and kick everyone's butt.
We're going to dominate.
See, I didn't say the word.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's no swearing on this podcast because it's family friendly. Superiority Complex, which we're going to record after this, swear as much as you want.
Nothing but swearing.
Nothing but swearing. Nothing. Just a one. Yeah, that's it. Yes.
Gosh darn.
Constant okay. swearing. So, first thing we're going to do is we're going to do our review. So, instead of every week we have a topic on the show, and we're not going to do a topic. This topic this week will only be Settlers of Catan. So,
got it.
We usually go have a round robin, and we'll pick like most beautiful game or games that you can play with your wife or games that you can – play Waiting in Line at Marco Polo Pizza. There's only one, Hipster Dice. That'd be the one I would recommend. Anyway, Justine, we got a chance to play test some games last week at Shuffle and Cut. We got to the owner, Matt, is very nice. He had some demo games, stuff that hadn't been released yet. We got to play two different games. One was called Purlock Holmes, Furry Artie's Trail. And, you know, I'm already a sucker for anything Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
That's published by IDW Games here in the States. The designer is Steven Sauer. What did you think of the game? The game is sort of a it's a little bit like Beyond Baker Street, which we played, where your objective is blind to you, but everyone else at the table can see your objective. So it's a little bit like Heads Up, if you played that app. So you have – everyone has a card with a picture of an animal who's a suspect and a time on the clock. And you have to – it's a clue if it's – you can ask everybody
them what time and what animal you are.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only guesses you can do.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it is.
Oh, if it's
– if it's the same animal or it's adjacent – if it's the exact same time or adjacent, meaning one ahead or one behind on the clock. So if you're at noon, if it was 11 or 1, it would be a clue.
And that was a lead?
Or it was a lead
or
a dead end.
Dead end.
So if you have, let's say you have a rat and the rat is 12 and that's in front of you and you play two cards that you have. Everybody's dealt these cards. And I play a goose with 3 o'clock. I put it out. Everybody else at the table says dead end. So now I know it's not the – now I know I can either not be a goose or – not be, it could not be 3 o'clock. So you immediately eliminate the numbers near you, and then through process of elimination, you try to figure out who you are and what time it is, and you have to guess correctly.
You keep those cards in front of you,
that's
so you can always look at it to know what led you there and then what was bad.
And the first person to guess gets points, and there's a little marker on the top that goes across where your play area, and there's a little cat called Furry Artie, like Professor Moriarty.
And it was cut like a cat. It was beautiful.
And so he moves along this trail, and if he gets to the end, everybody loses. So you have to help everybody, but at the same time, you want to be the first one to guess because you're getting points that you'll get at the end of the game. We really liked the game. There was only one problem with it, and it was
– ties.
Well, it was do you or do you not declare when you declare do you keep asking the question? Are you allowed to keep asking the question again to get points? Because if you guess the animal and you know the animal, we figured out a mechanic that you could just keep guessing the animal. to get yourself points.
And I feel like we got to that point because we're all cheaters.
Yes, definitely.
getting all those points.
We figured out that the game is – that rule is broken, and it's not addressed anywhere in the
because they don't expect rules. Us to do
they
that.
They don't expect you to be jerks, but we did it. And that was the first thing one of us figured out is, oh, hey, I can just keep asking the same question and getting points.
Yeah.
And even if I don't guess, I'm going to get points because it doesn't matter who guesses first. It's how many points you have at the end of the game.
Yeah.
But we liked the game. Other than that, the art was really cool.
The box was cool.
The box was really nice.
It was a little cat head.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't wait for this game. I just want to know if they're going to address that, if they're going to add something, do an addendum to the rules to figure out.
I just think it's common sense. You can't keep doing that. It's cheating.
We
just no cheating.
Yeah, you could house rule it, I guess.
No cat bites.
Did you like it?
Yes.
What did you give it on your scale of 1 to 10?
I'd give it probably a 7.
All right, nice. It was
with the looks, with everything.
It was. We're making it sound much more confusing just because we're trying to remember because it was a week ago.
Yeah.
And I'm now in my 40s, and a week ago might as well have been high school. But it's really fun, really easy to learn. We picked it up in like 5 minutes. Everybody figured out how to play it by the end of the first turn. Everybody knew what they were doing. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's probably a quick family game.
Yeah.
Pick up.
Yeah. Very quick. Just don't.
When is it releasing?
It is releasing in, we were told July.
We were told
July. That the reason I didn't mention that is because I didn't know exactly. So thank you for pinning me down on that.
Sorry about that.
No, it's fine. We usually have like release dates and all that. there's not even any reviews on Board Game Geek yet. So it is due later this summer.
Super exclusive.
Super exclusive. That's what we like about going to where we play the games. A lot of times the owner there will let us play some demo stuff that we don't have access to any other way. So it helps us review it too. So, and then we played another game by Steven Jackson Games. Steven Jackson Games, of course, produced the wildly popular Munchkin series. This is a game designed and illustrated by Danny Devine. It was called Ghosts Love Candy. And you're – so here's – let me give you the – this is out now. I think it just came out. And it's Halloween, you're a ghost who loves candy. Haunt trick-or-treaters so they'll leave you their sugary treats. Collect more than your spectral opponents and you win, but don't scare the costume kids too much or they'll run away. And that means less candy for you.
It does sound like a creepy game.
Yeah. So
all it needs is a van.
Yeah. Drive around in the white van.
The box should just be a van.
It's a really easy game. You have you put out these little kids. They have costumes on, and like one's a zombie, one's a cowboy, one's whatever, and they're all worth different amounts of points. And you put down you figure out what kid you're going to haunt each turn, and you have your cards are worth so many points. And if you reach the same number of that's on the little kid card, like if it's the cowboy and the cowboy's worth 10 points. That kid gets scared away and then he's done. But every kid unlocks like a different power for your ghost. So you can use kids to like swap different pieces of candy because everybody has a different card and it tells you what candy is worth what. So
to you.
Her ghost might like licorice the best and that could be worth 5 points for every piece of licorice she steals or whatever. It's a really simple, quick game. And we liked it. It just didn't seem overly spectacular.
Yeah.
It was fine. The mechanics were good.
It was okay.
The cards were cute. But I think after one play, we're like, okay, we get it. I didn't feel the need to buy it.
No, I didn't either.
No?
No. It's a good they just left it out there.
You know, it would be a good family game. You want to give a gift like a family that maybe doesn't play these types of games.
Yeah, it's a step up.
Stick it in a kid's Halloween thing. Did you get presents for Halloween?
I get presents for every holiday.
I know kids that get. Did you, Tigo? Did your mom and dad do that? They give you presents for Halloween?
No, they took away. They took candy. Like it was the opposite. It was the opposite of like gift giving. They would just kind of like siphon some candy from me.
I used to do that too. That's how I got the diabetes. Don't worry. Fate is on your side. Yeah, they're gonna get, your parents are gonna get paid back, dude.
Good, perfect.
Rod's gonna come home one day with a sad look in his face, and he'll know. Yes, I've been avenged. I know parents give, we're going to give Easter presents. What? Go ahead and get the eggs.
Well, my mom still gives me presents. I don't live in that house. I'm a totally grown woman.
Yeah. Did she give Patrick presents?
I don't think so.
Yeah, no. Why would you?
No, just me and my sister.
He's a lump. All right. I can say that because he's not here. Also, he's a Giants fan, so I'll say that to his face.
Say it to him.
Yeah.
All day.
I'll beat him with my Vin Scully water bottle. I will. I'll do it.
Deserves it.
Look at that. Okay.
Oh, perfect.
It's beefy.
It is beefy. Yeah.
So another game I wanted to review really quickly. You have not played this yet, Justine. I almost called you Jake or Patrick, but this is called Sagrada, which is a reference to
Sagrada Familia, La Sagrada Familia,
which
which is a church, a cathedral,
in Barcelona.
Yeah, Barcelona.
In Barcelona. You got to say it like that.
Barcelona.
Barcelona. Yeah. Oh, it drives me crazy. Sagrada was designed by Adrian Adamescu and Daryl Andrews. It is published by Floodgate Games here in the United States. My wife and I played it. Really, really great game. Easy to learn. It's basically Sudoku with dice. So you have a little insert. You slide a little card on the bottom of – you have a little stained glass window. It has a grid on it. You slide a little insert inside, and there's colors and numbers. And you pick dice out of a bag. You roll the dice. The dice are all different colors. There's red,
yes.
Purple, yellow, green.
Yes.
All right? Yeah, all right?
I like where this is going.
So here's what you got to do. You got to place them in your little grid, and your goal is to get as many of them as possible. You have a secret objective, one for each of the colors. So one person might get – you're going to get points for all of the green, all of the blue, all of the yellow, et cetera, et cetera. And then there are community goals. So, like, you get points for the most diagonals or points for the most times you have one of each color, most sets of each color. You play these out. You also have tools. Tools help you cheat the game a little bit. And you're all given, depending on which level of difficulty you choose, everybody chooses their own level of difficulty, you're given tokens that you can spend to activate those tools. But if you're the first person to activate them, you get it cheaper than everybody else.
You choose your own difficulty?
Yeah. So the card will have two sides to it. And if it has four – if the difficulty is four, you get four tokens. If it's five, six, or whatever – so it just depends. But you get more points for to use the tools. Okay. You get a little bit of an advantage. And if you don't use the tokens, they count at the end of the game, which I did not realize until the end. And I lost by 1 point because I used the tool. I would have won by 1 point, but I lost by 1 point. There's basic Sudoku rules to set up your grid. You can't have more than one of the same number in a row. And then when you set the dice, they have to be next to each other, either orthogonally or diagonally. Mm-hmm. If they're right next to each other, diagonally, you can have the same color. If they're right next to each other or above or below, you can't have any of the same color. They can't match. They can diagonally, but and that's it. Those are the rules. Everybody, and you roll the dice. First player goes, and it's round robin, and then it goes backwards.
So how many players?
It can play up to four. It's really easy, really fast, really fun. You get a nice little cool little stained glass window. You're like, hey, look what the dice are translucent. It's awesome. Really fun game. Really well designed. You can play it in about 20 minutes, and
nice.
You learn it right away. You just have to remember the placement rules because there's a lot to keep track of. It's a simple game to learn, but there's so much strategy to it. It's a lot of fun. So if you like games like Splendor, it's perfect. So try it out. Sagrada. And I don't think it's that much money. I think it's like $30.
Nice.
Get a bag full of dice. They give you a nice bag.
That's what I want. That's all I want.
The pieces
a bunch
are
of dice.
Pieces. The pieces are quality. Quality pieces. Speaking of quality pieces, what's better than wooden roads, villages, settlements, and a bunch of cards that if it's the first time playing, somebody shuffles. It always happens. You know what I'm talking about. What am I talking about, Digo?
Settlers of Catan.
Settlers of Catan.
The best.
Which is our topic today, Settlers of Catan. I feel like I shouldn't even say anything, but these I'm gonna give it a little bit of an intro. If you have not played Settlers of Catan, Settlers of Catan is published by Mayfair Games, and it is one of the what is considered the gateway games to modern board gaming. People will mention games like also in the same breath you'll hear games like Carcassonne and Ticket to Ride. Those are like the big three of you know when you're trying to get somebody into the next level of board games. And Catan is so easy to teach, and it's the rules aren't hard, but oh my god. Do you have to have a good strategy to play? You have to be an excellent player. You have to be shrewd. You have to know when to strike. You have to know when to let somebody you cannot – the greatest mechanic in this game is that you cannot win without bartering. You have to – there's no way you're going to be able to win on your own. You're never going to be able to manufacture your way out of of this hole that you're – well, you're not really in a hole. It's, this game also gives you 2 points to start. It is designed by Klaus Tuber. It has been around since, I believe, the late 1995.
It's when we were all born.
Is that – you guys are all born in 95?
95, yeah.
So this game, you guys are – this is it. You were destined to play this game.
Yeah.
All right, so who introduced – who was the first one in this group to play Settlers of Catan?
I think it was all of us on the same night.
I wasn't there. I wasn't there this first night.
I also wasn't there the first night. It was you.
Nick.
It was a few other.
I guess it was me.
It was 4th of July.
It was on the 4th of July.
Nick, you're patient zero. Walk us through it. What happened?
Prophetic Nick, yeah.
So I was invited to go to a 4th of July party at one of my good friend's girlfriend's house at the time. And I was with a couple of friends. It was a group of us. And we were playing a 6-person Settlers of Catan.
Love it.
So start off with the expansion pack. That kind of messed me up because the rules are slightly different than the original 4-player Catan game. But that was my first experience. I came in last.
How long did that game take again?
Oh, it was a long time. Probably about 2 hours. Because really no one knew what they were doing because we had all just started playing at the same time.
Let me ask you a question though, Nick. Mm-hmm. We talk about this all the time with classic board games like Risk and Monopoly. Were you ever, any time during that 2 hours, bored?
No. I was struggling to learn it, but it was a lot of fun, and I knew once I got the hang of it, I would be able to hang in there. But first game is always the worst one, I think, for everyone who plays Catan. Yeah.
That's the thing about modern board games, though, and especially the European style. You're always in it. Even like if you didn't understand the rules of Monopoly, you get wiped out, and then you got to sit there for 3 hours while everybody else is playing, and then you're done. With a European-style game, they tend to be a little forgiving even if you don't know all of the rules because there's all these bonuses you can get at the end of the game. And just because you might be the first player to reach a goal, which there is a goal in – obviously a goal like that in Catan where you hit 10 – you get 10 victory points and you're done. But you feel like you're in it, and sometimes it takes
– yeah.
It takes having the longest road or it takes having you know, your knight cards or whatever, the biggest army or whatever, to get you over the top. But it'll be a cutthroat competition right up until that last play.
Yeah, and you could be in it without even like realizing that you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're like competing, as long as you know what you're doing, and you kind of realize like, oh, I'm at like four VPs or 5 VPs, but then like suddenly a strategy like comes up, and you're like, oh, I actually like have a chance to take this, even though like 20 minutes ago I thought it was dead. It happens.
We had Emma, who works here at the store. She joins us for game night. She had never played Catan, but she's a big Star Trek fan. And I had told you, Diego, about a week or two ago about Star Trek Catan, and I'd ask you if you'd ever played. Same basic rules. It's just the setting's different. You're going after you know dilithium crystals and things like that instead of ore or whatever. And you have these roll cards that are the original cast members, and each person can play them twice before they have to give them up. You can force people to give you resources. You can, if you're Captain Kirk, you're immune to the robber, which is Klingon warship, whatever. But then you have to switch. Everybody has to switch those cards, so you can't. I mean, you can sit on it and not use it, but everybody gets a chance to play them, and you pick another one at random. So it adds a little bit of a different element, but the base rules are the same. And by the end of the game, two or three turns in, she had it down. You know, it's always hard explaining, okay, you got to set up this and then do this. Mm-hmm. But once she got going, I mean, she was cutthroat and she wouldn't trade. You know, it was like, you see it take over people.
I think it's hard, especially for us in the beginning, because we never played board games before. I mean, we would play like Monopoly occasionally, like maybe like once a year for like shits and gigs.
No, you can say
that. Shits and gigs.
Yeah.
Okay.
S and Gs.
But we, for me, Catan was the first like real board game that I was trying to learn. So the first game was rough.
Mm-hmm.
Like really, like I don't understand. I'm trying to get good. And by the time I played, people had played it 2 or 3 times already. So
yeah. So then, but that makes you want to play better.
Exactly. Yeah.
So Nick, you play this game, your mind is blown. And so when you're done, you want to play again? Or
I wanted to play again. Yeah. Because I mean, by the end of the game, I feel like. The transition, like the learning curve from the very start to the very end of the game, you learn so much.
Yeah.
And like you've already taken your first loss, so you're not even worried about that anymore. And your second game, that's where I'm like, all right, I'm going to really bring it. And I don't think I won my second game, but it was definitely way better than the first one because you actually kind of have a strategy going in and what you want to do and like the placements make sense.
Yeah.
And I think generally people need like one game of Catan to get it down just because I feel like there's so much to learn right off the bat. But past that, I think anyone can play.
So you've played the game, and now you got to spread the gospel of Catan.
Mm-hmm.
So who do you tell first? Which one of these guys you drag into it?
Man, I think it was probably me and then another friend of ours who was there. We just started telling everyone in our group, got everyone together. I know Moran bought a board pretty fast after he played.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Within 3 or 4 games of playing on a friend's board.
Yeah. And then someone else got a board in our group. And then since then, we've been playing.
The way we play it isn't, I think, it's like pathological. We don't play it constructive. So we'll play it 2 times a week, but we'll play 3 to 4 games. Two to four games.
Yeah.
Like it's...
You know, that's totally understandable because we get on kicks in the board game group where we really like a game, and we'll play it. It's still a good game, but
we kind of killed it.
There was a game called Monikers, which is a little bit like charades mixed with Password, what's the other one where you can't say a word? Catchphrase. It's like all in one. And we played – it's a huge deck of cards. And we played it every game night for like 2 months and we killed it. Like we can't play
it. We memorized it.
We memorized it so everybody knew everybody's signals. But it's fun to get that into a game. Like it's fun to like – because Catan is such that you can play it. You could probably play that game if you enjoy the people you're playing with. You could play that game every day for like a year and never get bored of it.
Yeah,
we did.
I agree.
Right. No, that's what it was. I think we did some tallies and like the total investment of time that we've put into it is about so in 2 years, right? So two years, like this summer, 2 years ago is when we started. 30 to 35 days of playing total playing time,
like nonstop.
That's
nonstop.
Only a month.
That's a month.
But
24 months.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
We put a lot of time into it.
And then I think that usually board games are like sort of a communal thing.
Mm-hmm.
They bring people together. And we were already together before Catan, but I don't know. It seems like it's a big divide
when
we're playing.
It changed no facet of our relationship other than this is how we spend our time versus going to nickel, ironically.
Sure.
Wait, it didn't change anything? Ironically.
It didn't change anything. It made...
Oh, you guys are nice.
Yeah, you guys are way
in the
too
game.
Nice.
I think
no.
Me and Moran are not friends.
Oh, the game outside of the game.
That's what we were gonna say.
The games are awful.
There's a dominance hierarchy within our friendship.
Okay, who's the top? Who's the alpha?
I have to raise my hand.
Yeah, Moran, you have those eyes. You have the eyes of a competitor. Now you play tournament level,
right?
Catan. So and he plays
tournament level because he's the only one that's willing to spend that much money on the tournament.
That's true.
Everyone's kind of like, I'm interested, but I don't want to spend like $60 on it.
It's true.
How well did you do in your last tournament?
So I played at Oricon in January, and I played at what's it called, GameX, just a few weeks ago. Both times, I'm one of the top ranked players going into the semifinals.
Yeah.
But then at that point, you're with and within those games. Was one of the top two players, but then luck of the cards, other players advancing, and you can't really track it. It winds up going against you. But yeah, out of 60, and I established a reputation the first time I went to Oricon, because I was the only, out of 60 players, I had the second or third highest ranked score in terms of like efficiency and like player percentage on the board over 2 games. And that's in the preliminary qualifier.
Nice.
But I was beating players that had qualified for the Catan Nationals, and not just beating them, but I was on their boards and winning by 4-point margins versus these like top-ranked players. So then they would come to GameX, which was a few weeks ago, and tell everybody, this is the person that did this multiple times, and I would get stolen from, you know, unwarranted in games, and it was you know, but I still won the game.
So everybody was after you. Now you got a big bullseye on your back.
Yeah, and I thought that's, for me, the best part about going there, because even when we play amongst ourselves, it's not stated, but yeah, like I win about 60-65% of the games, so that's already there.
Does it get old, guys? Does it get old?
Me and Ron normally clash at least a few times a game. We definitely go at it a couple times, but
no. The interesting thing about Catan is there's no direct conflict. There's no, I mean, the robber activates, but it's not like a game like, you know, you mentioned chess. You're not directly going at one another. What you have to do is you're building your own economy, basically, and you are trying to get these points. So there's no way to openly, like, if you've never played the game, Nick can't attack Digo and say, well, I'm going to destroy your village or whatever, destroy your settlement. You have to just outbuild, and you have to be So you have to, but it's so awesome how you have to manipulate your opponents because you have to wait somebody out to know, okay, they're not giving me wheat right now, but they're going to need something later, and I'm going to need that wheat. I'm going to get it back for maximum. Or you can bypass it, go to one of the ports, and trade, do it on your own. So it's amazing that you can be that competitive in a game where there's no direct conflict. That to me is amazing.
I will say though, Nick creates conflict.
Of course.
I'm the disruptor.
He's the wild card where it's kind of like,
oh, who does that sound like?
You don't know. You don't know what he rolls a seven, he pulls a knight, whatever. You don't know where that knight's going. It's usually on Moran though. I'll say that.
Yeah.
It's usually.
We have a friend Eduardo who joins the game group, and his whole. You see those, like, I don't play D&D, but you always see those, you know, they rank, not they rank, but they tell you the personality type. He is definitely chaotic evil because he just likes to
always chaotic evil.
He'll just do things like work at a game where there should be nothing left to chance. He'll just do something randomly and throw the whole thing off. And you're just like, why did you so frustrated? You're like, why did you do that? No, I don't know. I just wanted to see what would happen.
Yeah. See what Moran did for Catan, that he was the pioneer in our group to do this. He, like, brought psychology into it, man. Like, he started just manipulating people to do things against people that he knew weren't going to win. Oh, like, he knew that
they call me Machiavellian Moran.
You guys are so ready to be in our game group. It's not even funny. No, we play a lot of social deduction games where you have to
Game of Thrones. We should play Game of Thrones.
Are you guys fans of the?
I've seen a couple episodes, but not the whole series.
I only watched the Hodor part, and that was about it.
Here's the only thing that would be missing for you, there's a game called Cosmic Encounter, which Game of Thrones is based on. The only thing that would be missing for you is understanding where the characters are coming from in the show. Mm-hmm. If you've seen the show and you know, you're basically each one of the families in the show. Mm-hmm. And this is a game where you have it's direct conflict. But the way it works is, let's say all five of us are playing. We each represent a house. When it's your turn, you pick a card. Somebody else's card, they're representing their house, is going to pop up. Now we're in a conflict. Now it gets to the point of there's no pieces. There are a few pieces moving on the board. You're going to play a character. I'm going to play a character. We're going to give that character a certain amount of power. Now it's all about getting Moran to be on my side, or turning Moran against you, or getting Nick to sit this one out because I know he's more powerful than me. And that's all. It's all negotiation. There's no – you're not moving around a board, anything like that. But there's so much psychology, and there's so much – because each of the – one of the houses in the show has a lot of money, but they're not very powerful. So in the game, their power is they win by losing. So I can make an agreement with you and say, Digo, I'll help you out. And if I bail out, you don't know this, but if I bail out, I could get a bonus. Like, if I bail on you, if I say, okay, I'll join you against Moran, and then I bail out once the battle comes, I get points for that.
It sounds like diplomacy.
It's a little bit. It's very much try. You guys are perfect for that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like fun.
Yeah. For the chaotic evil.
So what? Moran, what was your? Do you have a background in other types of games? Are you a gambler? Is that what were you psychological?
No, I think it's a statistical mind that's what drives me. And once I think the first thing I did once I decided I bought the board, and I was just trying to figure out, okay, how do you optimize your game, your meta game? How are you going to go about all these games now? And it's, oh, well, okay, statistically you have to go on these certain spots, and there's certain resources that yield a higher return on points per turn once it gets to you. And so viewing all these different parameters as an aggregate, it's like, wow, you could really like do whatever. And that's one, I think the best thing about Catan is the level of like age autonomy you have, right? There's set parameters, but you can work within them a billion different ways. You could be really, really good at this game or really, really bad and stay that way and not develop or, you know, continue moving forward with your game. And I think you can reach a plateau of how good you can get pretty quickly, but you're still learning nuances of it that still develop. And then, and most of that being the social component, because I mean, you can only get so good at it, but then once you have to be like this benevolent tyrant on the board, you can get anyone to do anything you want.
I wouldn't call him a benevolent tyrant, but I would just call him a tyrant.
So you have to be nice. You have to be nice.
So Moran,
neurotic.
You know, using those statistics, how do you, how do you account in your own personal game, and I don't know if this is a secret you want to give away in front of Nick and Diego, how do you account for the randomization of the board every time?
You have to play enough games, first off, to understand you have to play enough games, first off, just to see where, and you have to see like deficiencies and surpluses of resources, how that's going to affect the totality of the board. Usually there's certain resources that yield high productivity, leading to a quicker end game, depending on if you're using a long road strategy or a city ore strategy, which is usually what I go for. I go for the city knight. So you have to utilize ports. You have to know, and this is the biggest psychology, you have to understand weak players and know, okay, they have a surplus of this resource, I have a deficiency of that. That works perfectly in my case. And I know the people that are more and less reluctant to trade with. Off the bat, once I introduce myself to players at these conventions, I put on a nice smile. It works. With these guys, I know the players that are more and less reluctant to trade. Each one of them, they have a very optimal part of their game. There's
crazy.
One thing
this
they do really
crazy.
Well.
No, 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 I love this.
There's one
I love
thing
it.
They all do well, but I do it better than them, and I do so. Rod's the best at placement. Nick is a wild card, so I never know what he's going to do.
Good for you, Nick. That's where you got to go in.
That's something in its own right. We have a friend, Tristan, who's the best at trading, and we have a friend, Tyler, who has a good know-how for what to do in-game strategically. So I pick up on all of that. They don't even realize that's what they're the best at. I pick up on all of those.
Yeah, you dummies.
Yeah. It's true. That's what unequivocally, like that's what they're all very, very good at. So I pick up on all those and like, okay, how do I tailor my game to adjust to their strengths?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's from there, it's a psychological game and it's a social game. Understand. And also, you made the point that you're sort of developing your own game. But I don't really – you have to – I think the good players – the ones that are going to these like national championships that I've played with that I did really well against, they really do look at it as an aggregate. And
that's where, my problem. That's why I lose all these games.
Exactly.
I'm only worried about myself. It's just like in life. I only think about myself.
So you have to – and even Rod made a point pretty early on saying, you know, you could get to maybe 5 or 6 points and you think you're out of the game. And then it's like, oh, no, I can get back in it. That seldomly ever happens, I think.
Well, if you're not playing, I'll bet you could do it.
Maybe. Because, so, I would say I have a very good idea of how I'm going to win within my first two placements, and the way I picture it in my head, it happens 80% of the time for the games I win.
You mentioned, again, to bring up chess, you know, people who are chess masters know just from the opening that their opponents use whether or not they're going to be able to take this game.
Yeah.
So you've obviously made a study of it. You're at a different level than, you know, us who are playing casually and it's just like, I'm going to be annoying and not trade. So you're totally just trying to shame your friends, and that's awesome because it's made you be, you've used that to fuel you. Why can't you guys be like that?
I'm just not crazy.
I have too much fun with it, you know.
Let me ask you this: what was your major in school, Maron?
It was political science, but I also
pre-med
too. So
that's where it comes from. See,
he's all the sciences and stats, and then he's like negotiations. Mm-hmm. And like,
but one reason I made the drive into chess was because I was like, oh, on the spectrum of luck and skill, Catan is very well situated in where it is, which is a good median, right? It's obviously everything's predicated on dice rolls. You can optimize your game whatever way you want, but if dice doesn't go your way, what can you do?
Yeah.
But I'm getting to these tournaments, and I know I'm better than some of the players that are winning, and I'm beating players that I could be potentially better than me. I don't think so, but...
got the ego.
Yeah, you need that, too.
You need it, though.
The whole thing of chance, it being contingent on dice rolls, I was like, man, this is bad. But if I just do chess, that's all skill. And then your ceiling for how good you can get, that's never ending. That's like appealing now.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, we've played Catan for 2 years. I don't think I could get any better at the game.
It's funny you say that because we have Justine's boyfriend hates certain games because of the amount of luck that's involved.
You can't do it. You can't progress.
Exactly. And would you guys agree? You know, having played as many games, 30 hours plus, or what, 30, how many, 30 days? Would you agree, and I say this all the time, and people laugh at me for saying this, sometimes certain numbers just aren't coming up. you're not rolling certain numbers.
Oh yeah.
And it's just like if you're playing craps or you're playing blackjack, certain numbers, certain cards are coming up and other ones are not.
The sample size is too small. The average game is like 55 to 65 dice rolls. So you have a swing of threes or 11s.
See, none of us know that.
This is news to me.
See, I have a, my best friend, Hiddish, is an engineer. So I'm used to just having, he'll say things like that. I'm like, and in my head, I'm going, wow, Gal Gadot is sure pretty.
Yeah. But,
which is why I lose Catan games. But so when did you guys realize you would unleash this beast? Like, when did you and how do you plan on rectifying that with the world? What have you done to the world?
So it was it was after one of the games. It was probably like over a year into it, I would say. And I would notice like Moran was on a tear, and I hadn't won a game in a while, and he was probably up like an 8-game win streak. I couldn't remember the last time anyone but him won. And I talked to him. I was like, dude, like, what's up? Like, you've been winning. And he's been like, I have a record. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I've been keeping a record in my phone. It's like, what you have? And he's like, all time. I have like every game recorded.
That wow.
Like, dude, you're crazy. You are insane. And he never showed me the record.
What is the record? Do you know?
At that time, I was winning like 72, 75% of the games.
Wow.
But that was, if you tack a huge chunk of those losses was in the first like 2 months of us playing. And then basically they didn't pick up on the power of ore in for a long time until I told my friend Tyler. And I remember it was a three person game where I won four times in a row. And I said, you need to look at this resource and see how powerful it is.
Yes.
Yeah. There were hints, though, that along the way before that, there was like, oh, like Moran's like taking this like this is different. He's looking at this differently. Like he had a note on his notepad in his phone or whatever on the notes app. And it was like a long list of like Catan like tips and tricks and his research. And everyone was trying to like get a look at it. Like everyone was trying to see it, and he was just hiding it. Like he wasn't showing nobody it. And then it was his own secret. Like, and eventually, we got a hold of
it. Yeah, they got me inebriated, and then they
yes,
we drugged him.
Truth serum. They pumped him. What were you going to say?
Stole the phone.
I just like that. It can't be a notepad. It was on his phone.
Yeah, no, it's on his phone.
It's the app.
Yeah, like, it's the app.
Definitely wasn't writing something.
No, don't write anything down.
Sorry.
So Nick, I cut you off, but I like your style of play. You just go in and try to sow chaos.
Yeah. So basically every game I play, my goal is to try to just split the board in half. I like disrupting everything as much as I can. I find it just more fun and enjoyable when like people are just like when both settlements are just on the opposite side of the board and they can't do anything.
Yeah.
It just makes me laugh.
What I tried to do was last week, I tried to go with the longest road strategy. We played with Jake and Emma. So, you know, I was trying to take advantage of Emma being brand new, and I purposely put one of my settlements on the far side of the board. There was nothing going on. I was like, I'm going to nail this longest road. And I had it until Jake started going around in a circle and like a figure eight and coming back around. And I was like, I didn't even notice.
Never take longest road first.
No.
Never works out.
See, that's what I want to – when we get to the end, I want to ask you guys – some of your tips and tricks for newer players, for people that are just picking up the game. But let me ask you a few more questions first. So what is the longest session? Do you guys have that? Do you guys have that shortest? Do you guys know?
Oh, the longest is probably like over 2 hours in the beginning. Like
for a single game or for like a
for single
stretch?
Game? For single game.
First game. Hours.
Maybe our first game.
Yeah.
Was like 2 hours.
Yeah, just over that. But then – now, when it comes to four player, we could get her done pretty quickly.
When I first started getting into board games, I'd see these games that were like 3 hour games. I'm like, who's gonna play a game for 3 hours? Let me tell you something. There are games that my wife and I like to play. We don't necessarily bring them to game night because game night's all about playing, trying to get two or three games, different games in a night. So, but at home, like if you're playing a game and you're thinking about the whole thing and you're making moves, 3 hours goes by like nothing. It goes by quickly. Mm-hmm. And it's that idea that I can do this. I'm gonna try this strategy, see if it works, and then it doesn't work, unfortunately. But you always feel like you said, you're improving, you're getting better, you're trying to master the skills that it takes to win a particular game. What's the record for shortest game? Do you guys have You guys don't know that?
I don't off the top of my head.
I think I actually, when for a three-player game that I played with our friends Tristan and Tyler, this we actually created a sanctioned event on meetup.com. And yeah, you guys weren't, neither of you guys were there, right?
I've never even heard of
that. So
I love it.
We set up our own independent tournament. So it was how many? Eight or nine people.
Wait, what?
Oh, I remember when you did that.
Was I not invited?
With those two guys, it was at Bridgetown at Tristan's venue.
It was the Catan tournament at Bridgetown.
Oh, the Catan. Oh, okay, yeah.
How do you feel? How do you feel?
I felt burned for a minute, but so we had a
qualifier and a final round, and so the qualifier was a three player between me and two friends, and I don't know what they were doing, but I think I won the game in 15 minutes.
And they were just not paying attention.
Yeah, the top two from that one, which was me and Tristan, then went to a final, and then we played two other guys we just met for the first time via the meetup.com.
And did you win?
Yeah.
Of course. Why did I even ask?
Yeah. That's the first time we played for money. Or like that was before.
Wait,
I
what?
Played. Yeah. That was the first and only time we've all played for money. But then after that, I was like, I think I'm pretty good at this game. So then I signed, and a friend or a guy I met at that. Oh, that's how I knew about Oricon. Marlon. He told me I just became Facebook friends with him.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
You haven't been friends with him for 7 years, though. But.
Exactly, yeah. It's like covering this
I'll
up.
Get you pizza. He told me there's this, I think you are sufficient to like go play at this board game convention, and you can then qualify for all these things. Like, okay, I'll do that. And I went by myself to the board game convention, and it was fun. You met a lot of people.
The whole reason you guys are here is because I call you Digo, but your friends call you Rod, so I'll call you Rod.
You call me Digo. Some people call me Digo. Just like
that's what your mom called you. Yeah, you were a little kid running around.
Yeah, it's fine.
But I saw that your friend was at a Catan tournament. You posted it on your Facebook, and
it was our 7 year friend.
I was like, hey man, you know, you guys play Catan. That's awesome. Come to our board game night. So then he's like, yeah. So then that's how you guys are in the board game group.
You see, I think that we've hit a wall, or we're close to hitting a wall, or we've been hitting this wall repeatedly with our heads for like the past 6 months of just we. Even me and Moran were at my house earlier this year, and he had this Catan board, and we were just looking at it like, what are we doing? We've spent so much time with this board.
Let me tell you guys something. It's anytime you guys are as a person in his 40s, still best friends with two of us. I've known my best friend since the 7th grade. We have another friend. I have two best friends. I've known him since the 10th grade. The older you get, it is so hard to spend time together. And like you guys said, board game is quality time. You might not be talking about, you know, your problems or whatever, but you have that time and you're bonding. And I feel that at game night, Justine. I feel like
we're bonding?
Well, I feel like we've all become friends. Like we didn't really – like, you know, I don't really hang out with you and Patrick outside of the podcast or game night.
True.
But I know so much about you guys because of the way you guys play. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I just learned you guys are all evil, but
yeah. I mean,
I have a different side of you.
But I feel like that's good. That's good quality time because everybody. And I don't want to sound like an old man. Oh, you millennials! But everybody, not just millennials, everybody's got their nose in a phone, or you know, they've got headphones on out in public, and so any personal interaction you can have is not wasted time. So don't ever feel like, what do we do? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think
bathe. Definitely bathe. Get out there and talk to people once in a while.
We'll miss one of those ones. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Can you tell them what we did?
Yeah. So, well, I'll give us some more context. I think that we were getting to a point like where it was the only thing we were doing when we were hanging out. Like we would go to hang out and we would just play Catan. And maybe if we had other board games, we wouldn't feel that way.
Yeah.
But it was just all towards Catan. We were thinking like, man, we're like 21, like we should be doing something. We should be building something. We should be like being productive right now.
Then
it was just like snapped and went off. And then me and Moran, we jumped in Moran's car. We took the board game to Goodwill and just left it.
Wow.
We just said goodbye. Like this is it.
So nobody has a copy right now?
No.
A week after they donated to Goodwill, two of our friends bought the board.
Yeah.
So it doubled in our friend group.
It's like a rabbit. It just
Well, what happens in our board game group now is initially I was the only one buying the games. And it was fine because my wife and I play at home. You know, we play a lot of board games. So it's fine. But then now what's happening is now these guys are all starting to buy games. So now I used to bring this big bag of games. Now three people have big bags of games.
Yeah.
And now it's just like – now it's –
Or a lot of us have it in the trunk, too.
Yeah, and now what it's become is trying to decide what to play is like a big pain. Before, I would just kind of go, I would be the benevolent tyrant, and I would say, I'm going to teach you guys this game today. And I still do that. You know, I still kind of –
If we don't have something that we want to play, then you always come
in. I guess I'm the de facto leader of the group just because I've played – I have the most experience playing a lot of games.
Yeah.
You also sit at the head of the table. Like, well, all of us go in like this, and this is how we sit.
Yeah.
Like, there's no chair there.
In a robe. Just.
Yeah.
Well, that's because I like to be able to get up and go to the bathroom. That's not because I'm the – and it's also because –
Yeah, you are.
Let's be honest. I'm the best. But – no, I'm not the best. I buy all the games. I'm kidding. I started the game night. Yeah. That's where I sit. Okay. Yeah. Daddy sits at the head of the table.
I like that when we go into can we say their name?
Yeah,
Shuffle and Cut.
Yeah.
When we go into there, Patrick and I will sit. Jake will come in too. And he'll pull up your chair. There's no chair at the end of the table anywhere in the room. And he pulls up the chair ready for Mario.
And I like a massage
and
halfway through game night. Why do you get really mad?
He doesn't pull my chair.
Who does? Patrick?
No, he doesn't pull my chair.
Oh, Patrick does it?
No. He's like, I'm sitting here.
No, you
can't sit here. I'm sitting close to Mario.
Who pulls the chair out? Patrick does? Or Jake.
He pulls out your chair.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm asking.
He doesn't pull out my chair.
Because I'm a Dodgers fan. He's a Giants fan. He knows his betters.
I'm a Dodger fan, too. He should be pulling out my chair.
He should be pulling out your chair because you're a lady.
That, too.
See, to help with the social part of the game, right before we all play, I get everybody waters. I just, like, ask them how their day's going.
Oh, man. That's what you're doing?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I'm going to have to take a break pretty quick. Kidding. Actually, you know, we're good on. What time? I know you have something going on today, Maron, right?
Graduation. I have a sister. Well, I'm going to reserve seats at graduation, but that's okay.
Okay,
that's where I'll
be. Yeah, we're coming
sit
up
anywhere.
Yeah, they're fine. We're coming up. Congratulations to your sister.
Yeah.
Does she play Catan?
She's played one game and said, "Why would you do this?" Like, more than once. Not even like, why do you play as much as you do? Because that's unfathomable. But like, why would you play more than once?
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I have a friend at work who. You would never think is a Catan player. You know, young, she just graduated from college. She's going to work. She's going to law school. She's, working on her master's. You know, very attractive. You would never think this girl plays Catan.
Wait. She can't be attractive to, like, the board game?
No, that's true. No, you just wouldn't. If you saw – okay. When I say very attractive, she has a certain look about her, and the look – that she has is not a person who would be at a place playing board games.
So you're saying that all the girls in Shuffle and Cut
hideous? No, I'm kidding. Totally kidding.
I guess you mean though. Like,
no,
she just,
I'm saying the way I'm saying it would be more insulting to her than the people at Shuffle and Cut. I want to say what I'm trying not to say is that she has a very basic look about her. You know what I mean? I'm trying not to say that, but thank you for calling it out, Justine, by making me sound like a chauvinist pig when I'm not trying. She does not look like she would be – she looked like she would be like Weekend at Cabo kind of girl. Uh-huh. Not
Weekend at Shuffle and Cut.
Not weekend,
48 hours
not
of Catan. Yeah.
Not 48 hours. But she – dude, and she's the same way. She's into it. She's like
– power to her.
Yeah.
Well, that's just like – what's that actress name? Kristen Bell?
Yeah.
After the Grammys, she posted the pictures of – not the Grammys. The
Emmys?
Emmys?
Yeah. Her and her husband were playing
Settlers of Catan. And that made headlines.
Who doesn't love Settlers? You know who else loves Settlers of Catan?
Green Bay Packers.
Green Bay Packers. That's it. Are you trying out for the Green Bay Packers? Ron looks like he could – like, yeah. He looks like he'd be a wide receiver.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. He says he's the fastest guy in the group. So I don't know.
I do say that? I don't say that.
Is it
said it.
Is it unsettling – that Maron looks kind of like your cousin Roman.
He does?
Yeah, you don't think he looks like Roman a little bit?
I don't think he looks like Roman at all.
I see it.
No way.
I'd say a little bit.
No, this guy's too brown. No.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as too brown, gentlemen.
That's very true.
I just call my friend a basic B. Thanks a lot.
I was going to say, we should set him up on a date. I mean, this sounds like a match made in heaven.
Either that or you were calling me one.
No. Are you kidding? You're America's sweetheart. We always talk about how lovely you are. With the whole drive over here, I was thinking, finally, Patrick's out of the picture. Thank God.
Jake's gone. No singing.
Yeah. No, Jake. We're going to get through a whole podcast uninterrupted. I'm excited about what's to come. Okay, before we do that, let's wrap it up a little bit. And I want to ask you guys, what are some good basic strategies for new Catan players?
I'll start. And this one is from Rod. This is convince the people that other people are winning and that you're not winning. Like, always constant.
Yep.
Constantly.
That's intuitive, though. That's not really, like, that's just natural.
No, no, no. But you have to, like, really go about it and kind of, like, really, like, sell it.
Yeah.
Maran, get like, in their heads and just be like, yeah, no, like, why would you do that? Why would you put this problem around me? Like, what?
Maran feasts on new players. And yeah. It's
no,
like,
that's not
it's
true.
It's painful to watch because, like, I'm, like, trying to be like, no, like, please don't do this. And they just, like, immediately, like, partner up with Maran. And I'm like, huh.
He's a psychopath, man.
It's terrible.
I disagree. I don't do that with new players.
You vulture on new players.
Oh, my God. It's all right. There's not even any new players.
It's tough to watch. That's why no one new plays with us anymore.
I need that lawyer friend to defend me right now. Yeah.
I'm not going to mention her name because she's going to come after me. I have to send her a text right now and call. I say, I just called you basic. Or I can edit out the show, perfect. Which I think I'm going to do.
That'd be great. I'm
write down those notes. Thank you, Justine. Anyway, so you're saying use psychology.
That's it. Look, if I had one tip, it would just be like convince other people that you're losing.
So misdirection.
Yes.
Classic misdirection. Classic, yeah. All right. Yeah. Like a magician.
That's the most useful one.
Oh, man. For new players, it's kind of tough. I would just say learn as much as you can beginning of the game so you can kind of like develop as much of a strategy as you're going into it, and that's pretty much all you can do from there. So you can try to just contend your first game. Because, like, the first game's always the hardest for everyone.
Sure. That's it?
That's all I got. All
right. Maran, I know you got maybe, lots of tips.
I wouldn't say so your first game, but, like, your first 5 to 10 games. Look at what everybody else is. Look at probably what the strategy they're most, would be ideal for where their placements are. So are they going to do road? Are they going to do city night? And just make sure, count up the dots of all the intersections that you're placed on of the resources that you need. So for wheat, sheep, ore, count up the total dots you have for those resources if you're the city player. And make sure you have more dots than anybody else on the board who's also could be a city player. And then you'll probably be the most dominant within your own right. And then if you're doing roads, make sure you have the most wooden log. Probably situate yourself near a port. And that's pretty much how you can win without even thinking.
How often do you guys think the winner is determined right off the bat by placement? Or do you think you can overcome, let's say you pick third or you place third or fourth. Can you overcome bad board position like that? Or is it pretty much, is it a lock?
I think that's really contingent on the board that you're playing on. If it's dense with certain resources and they're all taken and you're left with like a few measly like logs and then you're not situated near an ideal port, not near a 3-for-1 port, you're centralized in the board and there's nothing else you can do about it, you've lost. But that never happens. That's happened one game and I even told everybody, I know this is the only game like I cannot win.
How did you guys feel? Did you drag that game home for like 4 hours?
It went 4 hours.
Yeah, it went for like 6 hours long.
Put the night on him.
Went out for dinner mid-game.
Yeah. But it's rare. Those boards don't happen often where you like have no chance at all. But I think from placements.
Mm-hmm.
And then 50 to 60% of the time, if you build the first city, you'll win. There's a few like key determinants that you'll win the game. You pull two Monopoly cards, you're going to win the game. You get army and two victory points, you usually win the game. So there's always something.
Love it. Now, let me ask you guys this. I just had it, and it's gone because I'm, like I said, I'm in mid-40s. is there any aspect of the game that you don't like or you feel that could be improved upon? Or, like, the rule is broken?
It's perfect.
You think it's a perfect game?
No. I'm sure there's something. I need a minute to think about it. Do you have anything like off the top of your head?
Give me a second.
Yeah. I'm sure there's something.
I just have a tainted mind. I can't go into it with like. No, this is bad.
You can't play innocently anymore. You just can't play a fun game of Catan.
Yeah.
No.
You have to destroy your enemies.
I wish.
Yeah. No. I, the reason I ask that is because it's a game to me that we don't play very often at home because you need three players, and my daughter is like your sister. There are certain board games that she likes, but she likes them for very short periods, and she's not going to sit down and play a whole game of Settlers of Catan. So we really have to wait till it's like a we have guests over and they want to play. We don't want to force board games on people.
Why not?
Or, well, because, you know, some people don't want to – not everybody likes games. Or we wait till it's board game, right? And then we have so many other games that, we, you know, it's like Catan's one of the first ones you learn, so you don't always go back to it.
Yeah.
But I had so much fun playing last week with Emma and Jake. We had a great time. And we realized last week that Patrick is really the one that holds us back on game night because he never wants to play anything.
He's very picky.
He is. But you know what? Majority rules. So you don't like it? Sorry.
And he's a Giants fan, right?
He doesn't have to play anything.
Thank you. Who said that?
That was me.
Yeah, right? Thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
He can just sit in the corner.
Yeah, good for you. You're the boss anyway. Is he listening to this? Do I have to edit out something else?
No.
It's got my work cut out for me.
I think that while we think about what rules are broken, I think I'd like to direct some questions to you because we've been on this game for 2 years now.
Yes.
And we... And we've tried other things, like we played Diplomacy once. I think some of our friends have played Ticket to Ride once, and they didn't. And they said it was okay.
But I had a lot of criticisms of it.
Yeah. So like, where do we go from here? If we want to continue board games, but Catan is where we started, and we think it's amazing. Where do we go?
Ticket to Ride. The reason your friends had problems with Ticket to Ride is I think Ticket to Ride is kind of deceptively simple on – it's a really good game. It's really elegant in – and by elegant, I mean it's very simple, but new players can play it. There's a lot of strategy to it, but it's different than Catan. It's very different because you don't have the one thing that – the main difference between Ticket to Ride and Catan is that Ticket to Ride, you're very much playing alone. You know, there's four of you playing – but you're the one trying to build your route. There's no interaction. There's not a lot of psychology to it. Mm. There's not a lot of player interaction at a one-on-one level like there is with Ticket to Ride.
That was my issue with it was, the player interaction, which is like that's just really fun because you actually then it could be this social game if you're not like super competitive at it. But also it's pretty static when it's not your turn. Because if you think about Catan, you're contemplating the entire time.
Yes.
Right? That's why you actually can't be on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
You can be on your phone in Ticket to Ride because when it's not your turn, it's not like you're pulling resources when a dice rolls.
Exactly.
Or you're thinking about trades with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So
I would say for you guys, you might want
to write this down.
You might want to get into more, what would you say, Justine, like social deduction games where there's a lot of interaction, where there's a lot of psychology because that comes into play. But I think another genre of games you guys could look into are called worker placement games. Mm. Worker placement games are the same kind of thing, except instead of the dice doing resource. So if you think about worker placement games, if Catan were a worker placement game, your settlements and your cities would be the little workers. So in worker placement games, you basically they're economic games, and you have workers that you place on the board, and you might have to move them around. And depending on how you roll, that worker is going to garner you resources, whatever you need to win the game. If it's coins, if it's fish, if it's whatever.
Is that Agricola?
There's Agricola, which I've never played, but there's a lot of games like that, worker placement games. Those tend to be very. Again, I think what you guys are going to be missing is the interaction because Catan is one of those rare games where you have that social – you have the strategy and you also have the social interaction of trading.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I recommended Game of Thrones to you guys because there's no – it's not an area control game. Catan's really kind of an area control game.
Yeah.
but you have that idea that you guys are going to interact with one another and there's so much betrayal and so much betrayal that you'll have a lot of fun doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the idea that it's you can't really think of it as an aggregate would give these guys more of an equal footing to play you. So you might not have that 60% win percentage, you know. But it all. But there's a lot. I mean, I have to sit down and make you guys a list. But that's why we invited you guys to come to game night because we play a lot of different types of games.
Yeah, I think they should just play other games.
Yeah.
There are
You'll find something you like.
Yeah.
Ticket to Ride is – I would probably have gone Ticket to Ride first and then Catan.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's hard to make the step back. Yeah. My wife and I love Ticket to Ride.
Yeah.
And that sometimes is like a two-player game. Better, it works better as a two-player game. But it goes very quickly. Mm. The thing about Ticket to Ride, though, is there is some psychology to it because you – once you see when someone's trying to make a route, you can screw somebody out of a route. You know, mm-hmm. fairly quickly. So there is conflict there. It's just not as overt as in.
Yeah.
I think you just have to clean your slate bit more.
I'm cynical. I don't know. I think it's going to be hard to find like a game as perfect as Catan for us.
I will tell you what, you probably won't find a game that you're going to play 30 days out of your year.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of games that you'll like, and just if you can meet once a week and just throw it in there, throw it into the mix. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of quick, we call them filler games mm-hmm. that you can play. Get Bit would be a good one for you guys.
Yeah. Because there are games that I don't necessarily love that you guys play, and I still liked it.
Yeah, there's a lot of bluffing games out there, which I think mm-hmm. you guys would enjoy. But again, we can do it off air because I could go for like there's a million games I could recommend to you guys. But if you guys are really looking for that like head to head conflict.
None of that like pandemic communism stuff.
Oh, well, I don't need that cooperation. Co-op is good though. It depends on how you there's some good co-op games.
Which might help them out. Because we're so used to always going against each other
when
we do co-op, it's hard for us
We suck at co-op games because none of us wants to help each other. We're like, nope, I'm not helping that guy.
I was going to say, we need to mend our relationships.
You know what game they need to play? If they come to our game night, they need to play Dead Last.
That's a quick game, but yeah.
Dead Last is a great – here it is. Okay, so everybody gets – it's kind of like Reservoir Dogs. Everyone gets assigned a color. You're brown, you're yellow, you're pink, you're blue, whatever. You put the little standee in front of you so everybody knows what color you are. Everybody else has a deck of cards that have all the colors that are being played. On the count of three, you throw it down. The person with the majority dies. The person with the majority – so you're voting against each other. But here's the thing. There's an ambush card. If you think you're going to get – if you can get majority, you throw the ambush card. Now you can kill somebody that tried to get you if you have the majority. Otherwise, you're wrong. Yourself. Super fast. Yeah. But we play with like – we've played with like 12 people. And you see alliances rise and fall.
Yeah.
In the
We're
matter
like
of,
texting each other.
Yeah,
like,
people are texting each other going, go blue, kill blue. Or
someone's posting on Facebook.
Yeah. There's a lot of games like that. So it's just a matter of getting into a lot of them. I will tell you what, a lot of the games you guys might find fun might not be 45 to an hour games. They might be real quick games.
Yeah.
But if you stack three or four of them in a night, then you have a nice little game night and you're not necessarily, you know, you're like.
You're not bored. You're not jawing at each other.
But it's hard to find something you love as much as this is your introduction to that world. So. No game is ever going to quite have that.
It's a Plato's Cave situation. We're very fond of where we are.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. But Catan is a great. If you only played Catan for the rest of your life, I wouldn't be like, well, that's weird. It's a great game. Who doesn't want to play? Yeah. If Catan had been around when we were kids, like when your mom and your Aunt Margaret always had games at their house. They always had like Candyland and Hi-Ho Cherry-O and Monopoly. And we'd play those games for hours and we would house rule them and do all this stuff. And if Catan had been around, like when we were, it would have been amazing.
Yeah.
It would have been, I mean, they would have been like a knockdown drag out. Like they would have, tables would have been flipped for sure.
Yeah.
But it's such a, you know, you guys mentioned that you had played Monopoly a couple of times, things like that. It's such a mind-blowing game when you compare it to the stuff that we grew up with all those years.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing wrong with playing it, you know.
Forever.
I mean, if you guys want to play forever. I think Moran's done, though. Look at him. He's like, he's conquered. He's climbed Everest already.
I think I told them the last game I played, which I lost, unfortunately, I think that was total luck from one player. It was a perfect game. And we all left that game saying, like, we were shaking each other's hands, like, saying, like, I've never played a game that good. And I agreed. Like, I've never played a game where every player performed the most optimal thing they could do for their game. There was no bad trades. Nothing went wrong. Robber was placed appropriately. And my mind was like, wow, this is, like, they're all really good at this.
Yeah, see, you're not going to get that with us at Board Game Night.
No.
But, But you know, you guys could put on a clinic. You guys could, like, what I think you guys should do is set up your Catan board, and then we all have to, like, if we lose our regular game, we have to play Catan with these guys. Like, that's your punishment. You have to just take it. Just sit there and just watch roads being built and cities go up.
I'll be nice.
No, don't be nice.
I don't think you'll find a game that you'll just – only one game that you'll love. I think you'll just open up your mind to a bunch of games and just have a board game night.
Yeah. We have games that are – there's a lot of psychology to it where there's a great mechanic. There's a game called Citadels. It's very easy. It's a deck of cards. Mm-hmm. Everybody has – see, it's like the numbers go 1 through 9. Like the one is like the beggar, and the 9 is the king. And you're trying to build the city, the citadel. You're trying, and so you all have cards you're trying to play, and you have gold that you're trying to buy. And what happens is everybody at the beginning of every turn, everybody picks a different character, and they all have different powers. You know, the thief steals from people. The architect can build things cheaper. There's all this stuff. There's an assassin. He can kill somebody, and every round, the cards go around, and nobody knows who has what. And then you start calling from 1 to 9, you start calling out, okay, this person goes first, this person goes second, third, fourth, and you each play as you go around the table. And it gets very cutthroat and competitive because, you know, if you think, okay, Moran's got the – I'm going to assassinate the king because I think Moran's the king. Mm. And, you know, you can thwart him, or you could miss – and kill somebody else, and now that person's your enemy. So for the rest of the game, mm-hmm. they're trying to take you down because you assassinated them. So there's a lot of different mechanics that are in play, and you guys might be a matter of finding a mechanic that you guys really like.
Yeah.
You know, I like games that are – I like worker placement games. I like deck builders. So it's just a matter of being exposed to them. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like it, you know, it's 10, 15, 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, and then, you know.
And it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I love it. You guys are great.
We're trying.
So are you done, Murat? Are you done? Is this it? Have you reached the? Are you still going
to
play?
I think I'm going to still go to conventions because it's odds. It's like a 1 in 2 chance I'll be going, or 1 in 3, whatever, that I can go to one of these things.
But so you're just going to use them as fodder to keep mm-hmm. keep up?
No. It's still fun because we still meet up. We still have it's superficially. Yeah, we're playing Catan, but we still talk. I think at this point we're casual enough.
Yeah, because you're good at the game now. Now it's kind of autopilot, and you're like,
I think we're all pretty good. Like, I think Moran is definitely like, he's just a monster. But so, I think we're all on our own right. Like,
I think they could go. Like, I think most of them can go.
So here's the thing: we're not going to invite Moran when we get to
perfect.
Perfect. I think it's perfect. Yeah. So Nick, are you still into it? You're not
I'm still into it.
You're not ready to give up yet.
I'm generally always contending, at least. Like, towards the end of the game, I always have, like, 8 victory points. There's some games where I just get closed in, I'll have, like, 2, because I can't do anything.
Oh, the last game.
The last game I got murdered. It was, I was so sad.
Oh, you built one city.
Rod, what do you think? You're still in? You're still... But you want... Yeah, you seem like you want to find some other stuff.
I would like
you
to
You want to add to the repertoire.
Beyond Catan. Yeah, but I'm proud of my ability.
Let me tell you guys something. You will get to a point, and you can attest to this. I'm at a point now where I just enjoy playing, and the winning to me isn't as – I don't win a lot of games at game night.
You always do that, though.
Because
you lose on purpose.
But I also enjoy teaching the games, even though I'm bad at teaching the games. I'm glad that everybody's sitting there having a good time. And, like, honestly, I just get a kick out of sitting there and just playing the game and seeing – how everybody plays.
Seeing people get backstabbed. Like, remember last game? I got pissed at that Ghost Loves Candy. My boyfriend screwed me over and pissed me off.
I took a picture of it. If you look on the board game, you're just staring at him. And I think my caption was...
I couldn't believe it.
How was that car ride home?
But he screwed over me and Jake. Like, oh my God.
Well, no,
Jake placed his card, then I placed mine because I was screwing him over. And then Patrick went next and screwed both of us over.
Yeah, well, see, that's how you get... And that's a game with ghosts and candy, guys.
Yeah, see, very, very low level. Yeah.
Well, thank you for being here, gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed your time.
Yeah, this is great.
Fun. Yeah,
thanks
for having us.
Thank you for having
us. Of course. We will have you on again. Mm-hmm. What I would love to do is get you guys to play some other stuff and then have you on again.
Yeah,
and see what you guys like and don't like.
That's a very good plan.
And see, you know, as Catan guys. Do you guys have any social media where you want people to follow you or anything like that?
Sure. On all social media, I'm @thankrod, just THANKROD. That's it. Just everywhere.
Yeah. If anyone likes seeing baseball GIFs or tweets about the Dodgers, I'm at the G Train.
Oh, I'm following that right now. Thank Rod didn't sound so interesting, but I do love it. I'm just kidding. Moran, where can we find you, sir?
I have no social media.
Good for you.
I'm out there building my settlements and cities.
That's it, bro. There was no social media.
He just goes by his name.
There you go.
Find my name.
That's it. Google me. I'm on the qualifiers.
On the island of Catan, there is no social media.
Oh, my God.
Is that true?
That's true.
They have a form.
True enough. True.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you so much for being here. Justine, thank you for being the voice of reason. I don't know what that means.
I try to give you reason.
Oh, yeah. Okay, here's what we say, guys. We're trying to come up with a closing line.
You already did it. May the dice be with you.
We have may the dice be with you, but if you have any suggestions like for a sign-off, we'll try it. May the dice be with you. Hmm. Anybody? May you always have the longest road. No?
That's a good one.
Yeah, too specific. Way too specific.
Yeah. We don't want to concentrate on a single game.
Remember, don't touch my meeples.
Don't touch my meeples. She hates the word meeples. Do you guys know what meeples are?
No.
Meeples are people that represent you in the game.
Like so gotcha.
They call them meeples in the board game world. And she hates that word.
The proper name of that is a meeple.
Wait, a meeple?
That's an unfortunate name.
Yeah, I don't like it. I hate that name.
Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open it up. See all the meeples. That's how we're going to close it.
That's too long. Too long of a slogan.
We could kind of do like a derivative Shakespeare quote.
Oh, go.
We could go, all the world's a game and all the men and women are merely players.
Are merely meeples.
Merely meeples. Merely meeples.
That's what we're going to call it now. We should have changed. I got a new name for podcast. This has been a groundbreaking day.
Wow.
All right, guys. Until the next time. May the dice
be with you. We said this last time.
Don't yell at me in front of. It's still recording.
The guest.
May the dice be with you.